Ma'am, thank you. If you have your Bibles with you, once again, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the book of Psalm. We're going to have another study in the book of Psalm before we begin our study in Luke. I promise you we will eventually start in Luke, but the Lord has been putting some of the Psalms in my heart, and I just want to take advantage and share them with you. Now that I have the opportunity. And so this afternoon, we're going to be once again in the book of Psalm, and we're going to be in Psalm 101. Psalm 101. And for our reading this afternoon, we're going to begin in verse 1, and we're going to read all the way down to verse 8. And so Psalm 101, we will begin in verse 1. And we're actually going to read the entire chapter, but don't worry, don't be stressed out. It's only 8 verses, and so we'll read all the way down to verse 8. And when you have it, fam, you can let me know by saying amen. 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 Psalm 101. Let's begin in verse 1, and let's read all the way down to verse 8. And this is what the Word of God declares. I will sing of steadfast love and justice to you, O Lord. I will make music. I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the works of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. Whoever has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, I will not endure. I will look with favor on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in the way that is blameless shall minister to me. No one who practices deceit shall dwell in my house. And no one who utters lies shall continue before my eyes. Morning by morning, I will destroy all the wicked in the land, cutting off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. Amen. This is the word of the Lord, and all of God's people declares, amen, amen. God bless you, family. Thank you. This afternoon, I have titled my message, our study of this psalm, simply the pursuit of integrity. The pursuit of integrity. I think we all would agree that we live in a world where we see a total lack and a total breakdown of integrity. A brother once said that in today's world, integrity is an endangered species. We don't see it. We don't come across it. We see a total lack and a total breakdown of integrity all around us. And in the midst of this fallen world and in the midst of this corrupt society, we as believers, we as Christians, we as followers of Christ have such a great opportunity to take a stand for Christ and to shine bright in the midst of darkness, and to live a life of integrity. One of the greatest needs of our time is integrity, is that the people of God, is that the church, Christians, would live a life of integrity and would pursue holiness by the grace of God for the glory of God. This people, more than anything else, this world and the people of this world, they need us to live with integrity. In Psalm 101, it's all about integrity. This psalm is all about integrity. David, the author, his purpose to pursue integrity. Now, the word integrity is actually a very, very interesting word, very easy word to understand. And really the idea behind the word is being complete and being whole. That's the idea behind the word. It's being complete or being whole. really from a biblical perspective, the word speaks of God's word penetrating and saturating our whole life. That God's word has penetrated, has saturated everything about us. And there's no part of our life that is not influenced by the word of God. You are filled with God's word. You are influenced, you are guided, you are directed by the word of God. It's not just believing God's word, it's not just having strong convictions, but it's living God's word. It's living out those convictions. Integrity speaks of doing what is right when nobody is looking. It describes someone who is honest, but more than honest, it describes someone who is consistent. Who is consistent in what they say, in what they believe, and in what they do. A person of integrity is someone who not only says the right thing, but does the right thing at all times. At all times. It's not someone who just has a good moment, or someone who at church puts up a nice front, but at home is the devil. That's not integrity. But integrity speaks of being consistent in every area of your life. And so we would say a person who is not filled with integrity, a person who lacks integrity, is someone who is inconsistent. Someone who does one thing to someone and does something else to someone else. It's someone who is confused, who at church has this attitude and these actions, but then at home there's another attitude, another action. That's someone who lacks integrity. It's more than just a good moment, because everyone has a good moment, but it's being consistent. Yesterday I was at a man's camp and there was a brother ministering, and he spoke a little bit about integrity, and he said something very profound. He said that integrity is more than just being honest, but it's being consistent. That it's not just honesty, but it's being whole and being complete and being consistent in your life. And then he began to give an example, and it was just a funny example, but it was powerful. And the example was of a couple who ordered pizza. And so when they delivered the pizza, they made a mistake, or a worker made a mistake, and instead of putting pizza in the box, they put money in the box. Money slipped into the box, and so the box was filled with money. And so obviously the temptation is, well, praise God, God bless me, you know, keep the money. But right away the gentleman says, you know what, we need to return the money. And so he goes and he returns the box, he returns the money, and the owner is blown away. He's like, whoa, that is so much honesty. And man, you blessed me, I'm thankful. And the owner of the pizzeria later said, you know what, I'm going to call the news and I'm going to see if they can come and interview you, because man, you guys are such an honest couple. You guys did such a good deed. And I want everybody to know. But the gentleman who returned the money, he said, no, don't do that. I don't want anyone to know what we did. And the owner, thinking that he was humbled, you know, he said, no, we got to let people know. And he kept on insisting and insisting and insisting until finally the gentleman said, you know what, I don't want anyone to know, because the girl who's with me, she's my mistress. She's not my wife. And I don't want to be coming out on TV with her. And you see, there's a difference between being honest and being a man or woman of integrity. Everyone can be honest. Everybody has that good deed in them. But integrity is a whole nother ball game. It's being consistent. Not just having a good day. It's being consistent every day. In Psalm 101, it's all about integrity. It's David's purpose to pursue integrity. David's purpose of his heart, purpose in his life, to honor God, to live a life that's honoring to God. Not just to say the words, but to live it. To live it every single day. His purpose is to pursue integrity. And as followers of Christ, that's what we should desire. That's what we should purpose. That's what we should pursue, integrity. As Christians, our greatest desire should be to model Jesus, to reflect Jesus, to have our footsteps guided by the Word of God. As believers, our greatest desire should be to be the same person on Sunday that we are on Monday and Tuesday, and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. To be the same person in the world that we are in the church. As believers, our greatest desire should be to be consistent. And that's the key word that I want to stress, because when you think of integrity, you need to think of consistency. Someone who is consistent, that wherever we might be, or whatever we might be doing, that there is a consistency in our lives. That there's only one standard, that there's only one conversation, that there's only one life. A life that is honoring to Christ. In other words, I'm going to speak to my wife the same during the week that I speak with the brothers on Sunday. That's integrity. That's integrity. That when I speak to the pastor, I'm going to be the same person at home, amongst my children, amongst my wife, that when I'm with the sisters and I'm with the brothers, that's how I'm going to act at work. That how I present myself on Sunday, that's how I will present myself on Monday, by the grace of God, with God's help. And Tuesday, and Thursday, and Friday, that's integrity. Consistency. Consistency. One standard. One life, one face, one type of language, one conversation. That's integrity. And that's what God is looking for. That's what God wants to do in our lives. God wants to make us consistent. God wants us to make us men and women of integrity. God wants to make us more like His Son. He wants to do that work in our hearts. He wants to do that work in our lives, that we would be men and women who pursue integrity. And that's what Psalms 101 is all about. David's pursuit of integrity. David's heart, desire to walk in integrity. And that's what we're going to talk about this afternoon. And it's going to be good, amen? Not because I'm sharing it, but just because, man, it's a good text, amen? And so let's look at this chapter. And this is what I want to do, fam. This is how we're going to approach the chapter. You can approach it different ways. You can break up the pie in different pieces. But what I want to do is I want to share with you seven things. I think we have enough time. That David tells us that are involved in pursuing integrity. David wants to show us, God through David and through this psalm wants to instruct us what integrity is all about. He wants to give us a picture of what it looks like to be a man and woman of integrity. This is what it means to follow Christ. This is what it looks like to serve Jesus. This is what God wants to do in our lives. And I'm really going to stress that this afternoon, because I don't want you to think this is something we do in our own strength, but this is something God wants to do in our lives. This is a work that God wants to do in each of our hearts. And so, seven things involved in our pursuit of integrity. And let's begin in verse 2. If you have your Bibles open, keep them open throughout the study, Psalm 101. Notice verse 2 again. The first thing we see is a dependency upon God. That's the first thing David tells us, that integrity, first and foremost, is all about depending upon God. And notice verse 2. Notice the first lines of verse 2. This is what David says. I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? First, integrity is all about depending upon God. Verse 2, David tells us that he has made a commitment to ponder the way that is blameless. In other words, David has made a commitment. David has purpose in his heart that he's going to be careful and he's going to be cautious that his feet are on the right path. He's made a commitment that he's not going to live like the world. He's not going to live like everyone else. But for the glory of God, he's going to be different. He's going to honor God. He's going to honor the Lord. And he's going to live a life of integrity. That's his commitment. That is his passion. That is his priority. And he makes a commitment that he is going to walk the path of integrity, that he's going to be active, that this is something that he's going to actively pursue, that every day he's going to seek by the grace of God to resist temptation, to kill his flesh, to say no to evil, to take care of his heart and to guard his life. He tells us that he's going to ponder, he's going to meditate, he is going to be committed to the path of integrity. But notice, and this is what I want us to focus on for this first point, notice that after David makes this commitment of serving the Lord and honoring the Lord, notice the first thing he says is this. He says, when will you come to me? God, when will you come to me? And this is the idea. David has made this commitment that he's not going to live like everyone else, that he's not going to do what everyone else does, that he's going to be different for the glory of God. But in the midst of that commitment, David understands that he's weak. David understands that temptation always surrounds him. David understands that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so in his commitment, the first thing David asks and the first thing David declares is, God, when will you come to me? And this is the idea. God, I need your help. God, I need your help. God, I need you to come to me and I need you to give me power, Lord. I need you to give me grace, Lord. Because, Lord, I know without you, I could do nothing. I can do nothing. And that's where David begins. He begins depending upon God. In other words, his attitude is not that I can do this, but his attitude is, God, you have to do this in me and through me. God, I want to honor you. God, I want to make changes in my life. God, I want to serve you. God, I want to walk the path of integrity, but God, I can't do it on my own. I can't change myself, God. No matter how hard I try or no matter what I do, God, I can't change myself. God, I can't get off this path that I'm walking. I need you to help me. I need you, God, to do this work in my life, in my heart. I need you, God, to give me grace. And that's where David begins. And that's where integrity begins. Integrity begins with a dependency upon God. Integrity is not something we do. It's something that God does in us. It's a work of God in the heart and life of his people. And that's where it begins. It begins depending upon God. Listen, you want to see change in your life? You want to change that attitude and change that way of thinking and you want to change your actions, praise God, but you must understand that only God can do that work. You cannot change yourself. So don't try, because you're just going to get discouraged. You're just going to get disappointed. And you're probably just going to stop coming to church, because in and of yourself, you can't do the work. It's only something that God can do. But the good news is that God is ready and willing to do that work. God wants to help you. God wants to change you. God wants to put you on the path of integrity. God wants to make you a man of integrity, a woman of integrity. God wants to change that attitude. All you need to do is ask him. But you need to ask him with your heart. It has to be real. If you really want to change, you really have to ask him. And stop playing games, because a lot of people are good for games. A lot of people only approach God when there's problems and when there's difficulties. But it doesn't work like that. Because when the problems leave, then you're going to leave. And that's not how it works. But if there's a genuine desire for change, then you need to genuinely go to God with your heart. Because he's ready to help you. He's ready to change you. He's ready to do that work in our lives. And I'm the first one who needs God to do that work. Because without him, we can do nothing. And so first, it begins with depending upon God. It's not something we do. It's not something that I got to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. But it's something that God does in us and through us. And like David, every day we need to ask God to do the work. And we need to say, God, when will you come to me? Oh, God, I need your help today, Lord. Oh, God, come to me today. Oh, God, help me today, Lord. Help me today, Lord. I know I'm going to have a long week at work. I know that I'm going to have a long day at the office. I know, Lord, that I'm going to be tempted. And I know, Lord, that my old life is going to come back. And I know, Lord, that there's things in my life that are not honoring to you. Come to me today, Lord. Help me today, Lord. I need your help today, Lord. I need fresh grace. I need fresh help today, Lord. Because if I'm going to serve you today, Lord, it's only going to be by your grace. And that's where David starts. And that's where we need to start, a dependency upon God. Who or what are you depending upon? You want change. You want to walk in a path of integrity. Who are you depending upon? Oh, David would tell us, depend upon God. Because only God can bring the change you're looking for. Now the second thing, notice, at the end of verse 2, the second thing he now tells us about integrity. First, it begins by depending upon God. And second, it begins at the home. It begins at the home. And notice the end of verse 2. David continues, and he says this, I will walk with integrity of heart. And then what's the next phrase, fam? Within the church. Is that what he says? No, at the store. Just in case an hermano sees me, an hermana sees me. Just in case I run into the pastor at Food for Less. So got to walk with integrity at the store. No, the first thing he says is, I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. Powerful declaration. In other words, what David is saying is, integrity begins with God's grace, and it begins at the house. It begins at my home. That's where David tells us that he's going to pursue integrity. It's going to begin at his house, his personal life. When it's just him and God, when nobody's looking, when the pastor's not there, when the brothers or sisters are not around, that's when he's going to pursue integrity. That's when he's going to honor the Lord. That's when he's going to do what's right at his home. at his home. And family, that's also where it must begin with us. It must begin at the home. It must begin when nobody's looking, when we're all alone, when the pastor's not there, when the brothers won't see me. That's where integrity begins. That's when we have to do what's right. You know, praise God for Sundays, and praise God when we come to fellowship and when we come as a church together. That is essential. That is necessary. This is honoring to God. Praise God. But the question is always, what about when we're home? How does my life look when I'm at my house? How does it look on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday? Because that's just as important, if not more than important, of how my life looks on Sunday. It's more important. I believe it's more important to God how we act when we're all alone than when we're in front of a group of brothers and sisters. And David says, my pursuit of integrity is going to begin by me depending upon God, and it's going to begin by me honoring God at my home. At my home. You know, I'll share this with you. It's a lot easier to do what is right when someone is looking at me. It's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to do what's right when someone's looking. But integrity is doing what is right when nobody's looking, when nobody's watching. That's integrity. Being consistent, honoring the Lord regardless of my circumstance, regardless of my situation, regardless of who's there, who's not there. That's integrity. Integrity is being consistent. And David says, I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. He says, it's going to start at my house. It's going to start in my marriage. It's going to start with my children. That's when I'm going to pursue integrity. That's when I'm going to honor the Lord. That's when I'm going to worship God at my home. That's when I'm going to speak kind words. That's when I'm going to speak gracious words. That's when I'm going to serve Jesus at my house. At my house. And it's as if the Holy Spirit is telling all of us, hey, you need to take this home with you. Praise God for Sundays, but don't stop it on Sunday. Take it home with you. Take this to your house. Take it to your marriage. Take it amongst your children. Take it to the workplace. It's more than Sunday. It's every day. And David says, I will walk with integrity within my house. Within my house, when nobody's looking, there I will honor God, because that's when it counts. That's when God is there. That's when God is looking. And I can't fool God. Man, for sure I can fool myself. And for sure I can fool Adam, because, hey, Adam's a nice guy, man. He's a gullible guy. But man, I can't fool God, though. I can't fool Jesus. David knows that. He says, man, by God's grace, with God's help, remember, that's the foundation. We're not preaching good works. We're not preaching you can change yourself or I can change myself. But David says, with God's help, I will walk with integrity within my house. With God's help, I will be consistent. I will be consistent. Now, in verse 3, notice the third thing he tells us. He also tells us that integrity involves watching the eyes, a watching of the eyes. Because notice verse 3 what he says. He says, I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. And so the third thing David tells us is that as we pursue integrity, we must watch our eyes. In other words, the idea is we must make sure not to put anything worthless, anything wicked, anything that is good for nothing or vile before our eyes. David tells us that as he serves the Lord and as he walks in integrity, he's going to guard his eyes. He's going to protect his eyes from things that are not right, things that are not true, things that are not holy. That he's going to guard his eyes because he's a man of integrity. He's a person of integrity. And the idea is what you see can affect your integrity. What you see with your eyes, whether it's a movie, whether it's a website, whether it's a photo, that can affect your integrity. That can affect your walk with the Lord. That can corrupt it. That could poison it. That glance can put a seed in your mind. David says, I will set before my eyes nothing that is worthless. In other words, David says, Lord, with your help, I'm going to make a covenant with my eyes, and I'm going to honor you, Lord, with my eyes. I'm gonna honor my wife, and I'm gonna honor my children, and I'm gonna honor my church family, and more than anything, I'm gonna honor you, Jesus, with my eyes. And David says, I'm not gonna look at garbage because I know that will affect me. I know that will affect my integrity. I know, Lord, that will affect my relationship with you. I know, Lord, that's going to affect my wife and my relationship with my wife. I know, Lord, that's going to affect me as a father. And so David says, I will not watch garbage. I refuse to watch garbage because I'm a man of integrity, because I'm consistent, and because I love Jesus. Listen, fam. Let me just share this with you. This was advice I used to always give young people, but it's still true for those of us who are a little older. Well, we're all young at heart, amen? Except for some of you, you're just kind of old, amen? Just kidding. Believe me, I got a lot more gray hair than all of you put together, so the laugh's on me. But this is what I used to always tell young believers as they're beginning their walk with the Lord, as they're just trying to seek the Lord. It's already hard enough. Don't make it harder for yourself. You want to serve the Lord? It's hard to serve the Lord. It takes commitment. It takes death to self. It takes you taking up your cross and following him every day. It's not life, it's death, serving the Lord. It's a death to self, but it's worth it. But it's not easy. And so I used to always advise young people, it's hard enough on its own. Don't make it harder on yourself. Why do you want to make it harder for yourself watching that movie or watching that picture or looking at that magazine or looking at that website? Why do you want to make it harder on yourself? Those are things that you can control. Help your walk and get rid of it. Burn it, trash it, break it. Because those things will kill you. Those things will send you to hell. And David says, I'm not going to look at anything that's worthless. I love you, Lord, too much. I love my wife too much. I love my children too much. I'm not going to put worthless things in front of me. I'm a man of integrity. I'm a woman of integrity. God has saved me not for these things. God has saved me not for I can act like the world, but God has saved me to be different. And David says, I will not put my eyes on anything that's dishonoring to God. Now notice a fourth thing that he tells us. We got to keep it going or we're never going to end. Then for sure you won't come back. Amen. A love for the truth. Look at the end of verse 3. The next thing that's involved in pursuing integrity is a love for the truth. David ends verse 3 with the words, I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. Now the question is, what does that mean? What is David saying here? That he hates the work of those who fall away? Well, the idea there is apostasy. The idea of falling away is those who confess the Lord with their lips, but deny him with their lives. The idea there is those who have a big talk, and there's a lot of people that talk a big game, but don't walk the walk. Those who have much lip service, but they have no saving relationship. It's those who, man, are quick to put that verse on Facebook or to put that quote on Facebook about how much they love Jesus, and they're living in sin. They're practicing sin. That's the idea there. Those who fall away, apostasy, those who confess Jesus with their mouth but deny him with their life. And David says, I hate those works. In other words, he says, I hate that. I hate that. And the reason why he hates that is because he loves integrity. He's passionate for the truth. David loves what God loves, and he hates what God hates, and it hurts him. It affects him when God is disrespected. It affects him when God is blasphemed by those who say they follow him and live like the world. And David says, that affects me. I hate those works because I'm passionate for integrity. And that's the fourth thing that integrity involves, a passion for integrity. In other words, man, to walk in integrity by the grace of God, we have to pursue it. You have to want it. It has to matter. Does it matter to us? Is it important to us? Does it matter? Honoring Jesus, does that matter to us? What Jesus thinks, does that matter to me? What Jesus thinks about my life, what Jesus thinks about my language, what Jesus thinks about the way I treat my wife, does that matter to me? Well, it should. And integrity, it needs to matter. You're not going to be a man of integrity. You're not going to be a woman of integrity if you're not pursuing it. It's not just going to come to you. You're not just going to wake up one day and say, man, I'm a man of integrity today. It's going to happen today. No. You have to pursue it by God's grace, with the Lord's help. In other words, you got to make changes. You got to make changes in your life. You got to cut things from your life, as we're going to see in a moment. You got to be practical. You're going to have to make changes. You're going to have to cut things from your life, old things, and replace them with new things. You got to have to pursue it. In other words, it has to be a commitment to live a life of integrity. And the question is, does it matter to you? Does it matter? You know, I say this just by the grace of God. It matters to me. Being a man of integrity, that's important to me. It's important. Because, you know, at the end of the day, that's all that's going to matter. Believe me, okay? Believe me when I say this. I have been to so many funerals. I have spoken at so many funerals. When I die, nobody's going to talk about my house. And nobody's going to talk about my car. Nobody's going to talk about how much money I have in the bank or what I used to wear, the kind of shoes and clothes. Nobody will mention any of that at my funeral. And if you speak at my funeral, I guarantee you're not going to be thinking about that. But you know what people will talk about? My character. They will either lie and say I was a great guy because they don't want to embarrass me even in death. Or they will talk from the heart and say that I was a man of integrity and I impacted their lives through my character. But that's what's only going to matter, is who you were. It's who you were. That's the only thing going to matter. If you're a horrible person, nobody's going to probably talk at your funeral, or people are just going to lie. If you're a man of integrity, a woman of integrity, that father, that mother, full of integrity, that brother, that sister, just full of Christ, man, people are just going to praise and applaud your life. And they're going to say, man, my dad impacted me because, man, he treated my mom with respect. My pops, man, I love my pops because he was so gracious and so kind and so tender. He never yelled at my mom. He never cursed at my mom. And that's what I remember. That's what I remember. Or they're going to say in their hearts, man, my dad was the worst. Always yelling, always cursing, always saying one thing and doing another thing. What are they going to say about you, bro? What are they going to say about you, sis? It's all that's going to matter. And it should matter to you. Because it matters to Jesus. David says, I hate the works of those who fall away. I hate hypocrisy. That's what he's saying. In my life, he's not judging anyone here. He's not condemning. But he's saying, in my life, I hate the works of those who fall away. He says, it shall not cling to me. I don't want to be a part of it. Because I love you, Lord. And you saved me for integrity. Notice fifth. We're almost finished, fam. It also involves a removal of wickedness. Notice verse 4. Okay, fam, this is where the practical side comes. He says this, a perverse heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. And this is what David is saying. He's saying this, I have made a commitment by the grace of God to pursue integrity, and so I'm going to remove everything and anything from my life that will keep me from walking with integrity. Everything that's dishonoring to God has to go. It's time to clean house. And that's the idea there. He says, it will be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. I'm going to throw away that tape and break that CD, and I'm going to take down that picture. And I'm going to have to cut some of these old relationships and old friendships because I'm walking the path of integrity. And if anything is an obstacle, it has to be removed because my integrity before God is more important. It involves a removal of wickedness. You know, I remember when I gave my life to Christ at 21, I remember God did such a great work in my life, and by the grace of God, man, he was changing and transforming me. And I remember without anyone having to tell me, I knew I had to make changes. I knew nobody had to tell me anything, but I just knew if I'm serving Christ, I have to walk where Christ is walking. And Christ is not walking in the club. And Christ is not walking with the 40 and with the blunt. Christ is not walking with Tupac, amen? I don't know if you used to hear Tupac, but in my days it was all about Tupac. Now I don't know what it's about, to be honest. Just fill in the blank. And I just knew if I'm following, if Jesus saved me, what did he save me from? What did he save me for? Like there has to be a difference. And I knew that without even ever going to church. There has to be transformation. And so slowly but surely, by the grace of God, I begin to remove things from my life. I begin to say bye to certain friends who I knew were not going to walk this path with me. I invited them, I encouraged them, I exhorted them, but they did not make the commitment. And so I had to say bye. And it did hurt. It did hurt. And it was hard. But it was worth it because I'm still here today. And I remember I had to remove this and I removed that. And I remember even on one occasion, man, I just went to my room and, man, I literally just went crazy. I just started ripping down posters and because my room was just filled with garbage, idols, false idols, just perversity. And by the grace of God, I said, if I'm going to serve the Lord, I can't serve these things. They have to go. And that's what it means to walk in integrity. That's what it means to serve Jesus. It means there's a consistency. It means that you're willing to remove wickedness. And until you are willing, it's going to affect your walk. You're always going to be back and forth. And I always see it. Going on my 11th year, I always see it. Those who have a desire to serve the Lord, who have been coming little by little, but they don't want to remove things. They don't want it to cost them anything. So they come until it costs us. And once it starts costing, they go back. And you don't see them for about 6 months, but they always come back for a little bit because they think, okay, this time I can do it. But then once the Lord asks them, hey, remove that. Hey, stop going there. Hey, stop doing that. That's going to kill you. They said, oh, you know what? I don't know if I'm ready yet. And they go back. And then they come back and go back. I've seen people do that for 10 years. Until you remove sin from your life, until you allow Jesus to remove things in your life, you will not serve him. You're always going to be empty. You're always going to be in a hole. You're always going to be miserable, filled with problems. You have to allow Jesus to remove it. Just trust that Jesus is better. Whatever it is, just trust that Jesus, you're better. I like doing this, Lord. I have desires to go here, Lord. I like to watch this and hear this, but I believe that you're better. I believe, Lord, that you will bring more joy, more satisfaction to my heart. That's the only way you're going to do it. That's the only way. But if you keep it in your life, you're not going to get anywhere. Notice verse 5. We got to keep going. I got 5 minutes. A guarding of the ears. Look what he says. Verse 5. Look at these strong words. This is a passionate dude. Sometimes I think, man, was David Latino? Like, was he Mexican? Was he Mexican? Because there is passion in David. He says, whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, what is he going to do? I will destroy. You know, you read that, you're like, what? What is he saying? This is what he's saying. He's saying he's so passionate for integrity that he's going to guard his ears no matter the cost. He loves God so much. He loves integrity so much. He's not going to allow his ears to become a garbage can. He's not going to allow people just to come secretly and dump trash into his ears about someone else. You know, I'll be honest with you. There is something so subtle and something so pleasurable about gossip. I don't know what it is, but man, just like your flesh feels like a high when you hear gossip. It's just like, yo, give me the cheese. You're at work, you're like, oh, what happened? That's the first thing you're like, what happened? And you kind of try to get all spiritual. Hey, for I can pray for them. Tell me what happened. No, we always cover gossip in spirituality. I want to pray for el hermano y la hermana. Hey, tell me what did they tell? What do you know? It's so subtle, fam. I'm not even say amen to that. You know what I'm talking? You love gossip because I love gossip. There's something about like you know when you hear sirens, who's the first one out the window? What's the first one out the door? You want to see what's going on. You know, you're willing to risk your life. You know, the police saying, hey, you know, be careful and you're still there. There's like shootings and bullets flying. And that's there's something so subtle. And David says, man, I want to destroy all of that from my life. I don't want my ears to be garbage cans. that people just come and pour their trash in. But he says, I want to be loyal. I want to be loyal to my friend. I want to be loyal to that brother, to that sister. I don't want to hear slander. I don't want to hear gossip. I don't want them to come and destroy them in my ears. And so David says, Lord, with your help, by your grace, Lord, I'm going to guard my ears. Because, Lord, I know that what I see and what I hear will affect my integrity. You understand what I'm saying, fam? Remember, the Bible says, guard your heart. Guard your heart. And what we see, man, it enters the heart. What we hear, it enters the heart. And so in order to guard our hearts, what do we have to guard? We have to guard our eyes. We have to guard our ears. We have to guard our mouths. We got to guard our noses. Because everything will affect our integrity. You know, worldly music, you know, there's different opinions about worldly music. Now, I'm not here to put my conviction on you. But listen, from experience, I know worldly music will affect you. Worldly music will affect you. Let me say this. There was never a time before I came to Christ that bumping Tupac made me want to worship Jesus. I'll just be honest with you. Now you bump however the Lord leads you to bump. But there was never a time that I heard Tupac and said, man, I just want to go to church and worship Jesus. You know what I'm saying? That is just me being real. I'm not even trying to be funny. But it affects you. How many would say amen to that? Now, you could be super spiritual, be like, no, it doesn't affect you. Man, it's affecting you. You're lying, bro. It affects your integrity. What goes in your ears affects you. Affects you. You know, when people ask me, hey, can I hear this? Can I watch this? Can I go here? All I say, man, how is that going to affect your walk? Because it's not about if you can do it. The question is, should you do it? Should I hear that? Should I go there? Is it going to help my walk? I'm trying to serve Jesus. I mean, why am I going to make it harder for myself? And David says, I'm going to guard my eyes. I'm going to guard my ears because I want to guard my heart because my heart belongs to Jesus. My heart belongs to the Lord. And then notice 7th, and I end with this, fam. And you can come up, Joan. I got to end, fam. I don't want to take any more time. The 7th thing integrity involves is a fellowship with the faithful. Fellowship. Look at how he ends verses 5 through 7. I love this, these last verses. He says this, whoever has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, I will not endure. Look at verse 6. I will look with favor on the faithful in the land that they may dwell with me. He who walks in the way that is blameless. Look what he says. Shall minister to me. Remember, David is a king. He's the king of Israel. And here he's talking about who he's going to surround himself with. Those who are going to serve in his court. Those who are going to minister before him. He says, I'm going to surround myself with those who are faithful. With those who are blameless. With those who are men and women of integrity. Look at verse 7. He says this. No one who practices deceit shall dwell in my house. And no one who utters lies shall continue before my eyes. Look at verse 8. Morning by morning, I will destroy all the wicked in the land. Why? Because I love integrity. Why? Because I'm a man of integrity. Why? Because I love Jesus. I want to honor Jesus. So I'm going to cut off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. I'm going to disconnect myself from all those who will affect my integrity. Now, the idea there is not that he's not going to have friendships with him or relationships with him. It doesn't mean that we are to shun the world. Of course not. We love the world. We love non-believers. We want to reach out to them. We want to build friendships with. We want to preach Christ to them. We want to love them and show them Jesus. That's not the idea, but the idea is fellowship, your inner circle. those who are going to influence you, those who you're going to seek advice from, those who you're going to spend most time with. David says, my inner circle are going to be men and women who are faithful. I'm going to surround myself with those who are going to lift me up, with those who are going to point me to Jesus, with those who are going to help me in my walk. I'm gonna spend time at church, because at church I'm surrounded by brothers and sisters who love the Lord, who want to pray for me. Brothers and sisters who are not going to judge. Brothers and sisters who are not going to condemn, but who are going to seek to lift me up, to help me, to point me to Jesus. David says, I'm going to surround myself with the faithful. And that's the walk of integrity. Integrity depends upon God. Commitment at the home. The walk of integrity involves watching your eyes, watching your ears, loving truth, removing wickedness, and fellowshipping with the faithful. Surrounding yourself with men and women who love God. Men and women who want the same thing. Men and women who are headed the same direction. And it's not that we're perfect. Absolutely not. But the difference is, by the grace of God, we've been forgiven. And now we're pursuing perfection. We know we'll never obtain it. We know that we'll never arrive. We know that we're always a work in progress, but we're not going to use that as an excuse to sin, because God didn't save me that I might just keep doing my own thing. That's not what following Christ. Following Christ means you get behind Christ and you walk where Jesus walks. And where is Jesus walking? Which direction? Which direction is Jesus walking? Always walking in the opposite direction of the world. And that's integrity. And David says, I will walk with integrity. I will ponder the way that is blameless. When will you come to me, Lord? And I know without a doubt that there's a lot of us, if not all of us, here this afternoon. Well, that's our prayer. We want to be men of integrity. We want to be women of integrity. We want to honor the Lord. We love the Lord. The Lord has been good to us. Somebody would say amen. That the Lord has been good to us. I want to honor Him. I don't want to be all over the place. I don't want to be inconsistent. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be one thing on Sunday and something else on Monday. I want to be consistent. And that's the desire of many of us. And like David, it starts with us saying, oh Lord, when will you come to me? That's where it starts. That's the first step. God, help me. God, I have these desires. God, I want this. I want to honor you. But I recognize, Lord, that I need you. I recognize, Lord, that there's things in my life that I'm always going back to. There's people in my life that I can't cut loose. I need you, Lord. I need you with my mouth. Lord, I recognize that my mouth, it's poison at times. That I'm always killing people with my words. Lord, I recognize that my thoughts are so corrupt at times. Lord, I recognize that my ears at times are garbage cans. Lord, I recognize that my heart at times is filled with darkness. Help me, Lord, to be a man and woman of integrity. And it all starts with us just saying, Lord, when will you come to me? I need your help, Lord. I can't do it without you. God bless you, family. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for your word, and we just want to thank you, Lord, for this exhortation, because really, that's what it was. It was an exhortation. And Lord, this has been in my heart now for a while. Integrity, Lord, integrity, consistency. I want to see people who are consistent. I want to be surrounded by people who are consistent. And Lord, more than that, I want to be consistent. I want to be consistent in my Christian walk. I want to be consistent in my home. When I'm with my wife, when I'm with my children, when I'm all alone. It just can't be up here, Lord. I just can't be putting on a show every Sunday, Lord. That's diabolic, Lord. Just putting on a show, putting on a mask. That's not what it's about. That's not Christianity. And Lord, I'm aware that it's easy to do that. I'm aware, Lord, that when I'm in front of people, especially Christian people, there's this temptation to put up a front. And then when I'm all alone, it's a whole nother story. Lord, that is so, so dangerous. And I don't want that. And Lord, we don't want that. We want to be consistent, Lord. And so our prayer today is help us, Lord, to be consistent. Help me, Lord, to be a man of integrity. Help me, Lord, to walk this path. Give me grace, Lord. Give me power, Lord. Bring change to my heart. Bring change to my way of thinking. Bring change to my attitude, Lord, that I may walk in integrity. Show me, Lord. Show me even things that I'm not aware of that are dishonoring to you. My attitude or my thought process or my actions. Lord, if I'm living in sin, if there's someone that is just living in sin, show them, Lord. You show them that it wouldn't be something that someone else tells them, but you reveal it to them, Lord, that that's death. That path is headed to hell. And they're going to hell unless they repent. You show them, Lord. That's something you have to show them, Lord. Show them, Lord. It's not worth it, Lord. Show them, Lord. Man, you can't play games with God. God sees all. God knows all. God knows where we're at. God knows where every single one of us are at. And we tremble before you, Lord, just thinking that it brings a godly fear to our lives. We ask, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, that you would have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. Give us grace. Bring the change that only you can bring. Bring the change. Make us more like you, Jesus. Make me more like you, Lord. Make me a man of integrity, Lord. Do the work. When I treat people, when I react to people, when I talk to us, when I talk to my wife, may it be evidence of you, Lord, a reality of Christ. When I'm at work and I just want to explode, help me, Lord, to remember I'm a man of integrity. I can't act that way. I can't do that, man. Jesus has done a work in my life. When the temptation is to explode with our spouse, help us, Lord. Help us to remember we're people of integrity. We don't treat our spouse that way. When we want to blow up with our children, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to remember you don't blow up on us, Lord. You don't treat us like that. But you're patient, you're loving, you're gracious, Lord. You give us what we don't deserve, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be men and women of integrity. That like David, Lord, we would pursue it and pursue it and pursue it because we love you, Lord. What if we stand, famine?